doesn't mind, I guess.
So welcome to Rabbi Heineman's annual Tshuva Shir. It's very special that you're able to attend the Shir on this very busy night. In the last minute, a number of events were also scheduled for tonight, so we really appreciate your participation tonight. So Welcome Newcomers Night is scheduled for Matzah Shabbos, December 10th. If you know any woman who moved... December 7th. If you know any woman who moved to Baltimore during the past year, please inform Mrs. Chavi Birnbaum, Mrs. Ruby Katz, or Mrs. Tova Krasner. Or you can email Nishe. The email address is nishe@netzero.net. This event is an important opportunity to show our new neighbors how much we appreciate their joining our community. We are passing around sign-in sheets. If you have your phone number, if we have your phone number and email address, we can inform you of new sharing and changes in the schedule. Please clearly write your email address. We also desperately need volunteers to help us with our events. Please check off how you can help Nishe with our events. Dues are still only $20. They help us with our programming expenses and stucco, and they'll give you reduced fees at our events. Please email $20 to Mrs. Sandy Cohen on Cross... Please mail $20 to Mrs. Sandy Cohen on Cross Country Boulevard, or give them to her after this year tonight. During the summer, many of you attended a Star K hands-on demonstration on checking produce for insects, which Nishe sponsored. Because of the large turnout, some women did not receive the valuable Star K chart, which is Birnbaum showing right now, and checking for the bugs and produce. We have additional copies here tonight. Please let us know if you're interested in attending another lecture, if you missed the last lecture, or would like a refresher course. This year is Lezecher Nishmas, Rivka Chaya Bas Rav Yosef, and Leskus Refuah Shleima of Devara Bas Rachel. We'll recite a parak of Tehillim after the shir. Okay, we'd like to welcome HaRav Moshe Heineman, the Rav of the Yigud Yisrael, the Rabbinic Administrator of the Star K. He is well known internationally for his expertise in halacha. HaRav Heineman actually needs no introduction. Thank you for constantly being available to speak for us. Okay, HaRav Heineman.
We're in the month of El, which is the month of Tshuva, the prelude to the Yom Noraim, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And we have to think, what do we have to do Tshuva about? Do we do anything wrong? We make a bracha before we eat. We say Kriya Shema. We do what we're supposed to do. We listen to the shofar. But I think that an important thing for us to consider is that big averus usually start in a very miniature form. Sometimes in a form that is not even recognizable that there's anything wrong with it. About 15 years ago, I was in Germany, in Frankfurt, in a shul. It was the only shul in Frankfurt that had a minyan. I davened there. The shul had a bima in the middle for Kriyas HaTorah. The Amud for the Chazan was in front. The women were in a balcony. There was a mikveh in the basement. It looked like a regular frum shul. But I noticed something, that there was an organ in the back, about 30 feet long, and maybe 10, 12 feet high, which is the Sim Muvuk. It's a sign that it was a Reform synagogue. So a Reform synagogue has a balcony for the women. It has a place of Kriyas HaTorah in the middle of the shul. This was from the first Reform synagogues. As we all know, that Reform started in Germany. And it's not that one day someone gave a clap on the beamer and said, Rabbi Isai, tomorrow we're going to become Reform. Tomorrow we don't keep anything. They would have thrown him out. There were no one to listen to him. It started slowly. So the first thing was that they had, one of the first things that they did was that they had a band that played by Kabbalah Shabbos, by the Hadidi. They said it's an enhancement of the davening. In the Beis HaMikdash, they had music, had Levim were playing, and just to make sure that it's 100% kosher, the band was all goyim. And since they played before Shabbos, so even if it went to pass the Shkia, it didn't matter because they were goyim. So what's so terrible about that? Okay, look, some sofer right away smelled that there was something wrong over here. And he wrote a tshuva, more than one, lengthy tshuvas, to explain what's wrong with it. He had a hard time explaining what's wrong with it. Basically, if you look between the lines, you see that the main problem was that they were veering away from the minhag of Klal Yisrael. They were doing something new. The Chachamim from 500 years ago didn't know that there's such a thing to enhance the tefillah with music. They didn't know that, and they didn't do it. Evidently, they felt it was not the right thing to do. But some sort of gives some halakhic arguments about what the problem was. When they started out, they used to get up to slichas before the alos hashachar, before daybreak, to daven slichas, these reformed people. But it started out with small things which didn't even seem to be so terrible. So, look what it is today. Today, they're devoid of any semblance of Yiddishkeit at all. So things start out in a small way, and in a matter of 200 years, it has gone down to the very bottom. What less can they keep than nothing? The Bais Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed. It's not so clear why it was destroyed. The Gemara says that this question of why did the Yidden deserve to have the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, the first Beis HaMikdash, Dovzeh Nishal Chachamim, they asked the Chachamim, the wise people of that generation. They didn't have an answer. They asked the Nevi'im, why did this happen? The Nevi'im lived until the Zman of the Bais Sheni, the beginning. So they were Nevi'im at the time of the Churban, and they had no answer. Until the Baruch himself, explained why the Bais Rishon was Nechrav. Al Ozvam es Torasi. They left my Torah. So the question is, if they left the Torah, so why didn't the Chachamim know? They didn't even need any Nevi'im, but it's easy to see. They left the Torah, so that's why the Churban came. So the Gemara says, It's not that they left the Torah. They learned Torah, they kept the Torah. But lo birchu ba Torah tchila. They didn't make a bracha on the Torah when they wanted to learn the Torah. They didn't make a bracha. We make a bracha. Lasa b'diris Torah, and so on. Ashabach habonu. We make a bracha. Lo birchu ba Torah tchila. They didn't make a bracha. So Rabbi Yonah asked a question. So why didn't they know what kind of chet they did? They thought everyone was tzaddikim. If they didn't make a brach on the Torah, they should have known it. So Rabbi Yonah says, they did make a brach on the Torah. But lo haisa ha-Torah chashuva b'inehem. The Torah was not that important in their minds that the Chachamim should have made a bracha on the Torah. So the problem over here was that in the minds of Klal Yisrael, the Torah was not as chashuv, as important as it should have been in their minds. This doesn't mean they didn't keep the mitzvahs. They kept all the mitzvahs. They did everything. But if the Torah is not that important, that means that with the time, things are going to get chopped away. It's not that important, so we don't have to keep this year, or the next year, or whatever. Little by little, it's going to erode. So Rabbi Shalom had to do something dramatic to bring them back to the understanding of Kihem Chayenu V'Erech Yameinu, the Torah, the words of the Torah are our life. And this is what the main thing in our life is the Torah. We say that every day in the davening. So the bias was Nechrav, even though they kept everything, but it wasn't with the right intensity. They didn't think that the Torah was that important. So from a small thing, who knows what's going to end up with. The same thing with open orthodoxy. Maybe when they started out, they kept everything. But already, they already gone off the derech. I'm not sure if they were ever on the derech. But it started out with something small. It's going the same way as conservative jury went, which actually was a improvement, supposedly, on the reform movement. They were the Hasidim of the reform movement. But it's all going the same way. Not if we don't keep one thing in the Torah, and we're the ones who decide what's important, what's not important, what we should keep, what we should not keep, whether you're allowed to drive to shul on Shabbos or not. So if these kind of questions come up, it's going on the wrong derech. And this really is all outlined clearly in the Torah. The Torah says that there's such a thing as a ben soirer umoire, a son that does not listen to his parents. If he doesn't listen to his parents, he eats a certain amount of meat and drinks a certain amount of wine, chatzilug yayin, tartimo basa. How much is a chatzilug yayin? What is that? I'm not sure about how much the tartim of basa is, but I do know how much a chatzilug yayin is. A revi'is halug, the revi'is is what we make kiddush on. Chatzilug is twice as much as a revi'is. So if he drinks twice as much as a revi'is, and he eats maybe twice as much as a regular portion of meat, and he doesn't listen to his parents, he is a ben soirer umoire, And if he doesn't, is not chozer b'tshuva, they kill him. They give him skila. What did he do wrong? Because he ate more wine than usual and ate more meat than usual, so they kill. Because I'll say nidun al shem sofai. He is being judged on what's going to become with him. He's going in the wrong path. He is, once he starts getting involved in this gashmius, and Rav Moshe Feinstein says that over here also this din of ben sora mora applies also to someone who's on drugs. Once he gets into this, mevakesh limudoi ve'eino motzei. It costs money. This habit that he has costs money. And after a while, there's no money left. What does he do? Amid al proshes drachim. He goes to the crossroads, and when he meets someone, he holds him up and says, give me your money or I'll shoot you. So if he gives them money, fine. So this is what he's headed for. The Yushami goes on to say that if they won't give him the money, he'll kill him because he needs the money, because he needs to satisfy his habit. So and the Yushami goes on to say, Lois Saif Dava Harga, not only will kill the one who won't give him the money, Seif Dava, the final thing is going to be Meshacheach Talmudai. He's going to forget his learning. Well, what does that mean? He's going to forget his learning. So that's worse than killing someone? Well, what does Chazal mean over here by saying that not only will he ambush the people, not only will he steal money from them, not only will he kill him, he'll forget his learning? What is forgetting learning? Why is that Chayav Misa? Well, what will be the terrible thing? So I believe the pshat in the Yishan is this way. There is a drug called ecstasy. It's a drug which, if you take it only a couple of times, it maybe doesn't affect the person's brain. But after the person's got... takes more than a couple of times, it affects the person's memory. And he will be, and it's permanent, it will, the beginning comes back, and it will not come back. So live a whole life without a memory. To live a whole life without a memory is very difficult. A person needs a memory. We're not talking about remembering his multiplication tables. We're talking about he didn't remember from 1 minute to the next minute what he did. So you can't have a job. You can't actually function without a memory. But this person is so into his habit that even though that he knows that is going to make him a handicapped person for the rest of his life, he'll do it anyway. He's so much into it. And that's what the Yishami means. Yishami means that not only does he want to kill other people, he's even willing to make himself a wounded person, a handicapped person for the rest of his life because of his needs, so to speak, that he has to have these drugs. But it all started out from the fact that he drank more wine and ate more meat, and he didn't listen to his parents. So we see that big problems very often start out from smaller problems. Small problems that sometimes can be traced back to a person's childhood. But they are they're serious. Chazal say in another place, it's a Mishnah. Kol mi sheyesh ba gimel dvarim halalu, anyone who has these three things, who mi talmido shel Avraham Avinu, he is considered being a pupil of Avraham. Ushreish dvarim acherim, if he has three other things, who mi talmido shel Bil Marashat, he is a pupil of Bilam. What are they? Ayin Taiva, he looks at the good in everything. Baruch Nemucha, and he's a humble person. Benefesh Shefala, and he's an undemanding person. Mitamido Shel Avraham Avinu, he is from the Talmud of Avraham Avinu. Ayin Ra, if he looks at the bad in everything. Baruch Gvaya, and he's a haughty Baal Gaiva. But Nefesh Rechava, and he is a demanding person. He wants everything. Mitalmidav shel Bil Marasha. Talmidav shel Avraham Avinu, the Talmid of Avraham Avinu, Eichlim Baal Mazeh, they get some schar in Al Mazeh, but Eichlim Baal Mazeh, but their main schar is in Al Mazeh. So the Mishnah brings a pasuk. Talmidav shel Bil Marasha, Yerushim Gehenim, they end up in Gehenim. There's something over here which is striking. It says, what is the difference between the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu and the Talmidim of Bilam? Why didn't it say, what is the difference between Avraham Avinu and Bilam? Why do you have to say the pupils of Avraham Avinu and the pupils of Bilam? Let's start from the source. What's the difference between Avraham and Bilam? Could have said the same thing. Ein Taiva Beruach Nemucha V'Nefesh Shefala, that's Avraham. And the opposite would be Bilam. So the Mefarshim explain like this. If you have an angle, let's say an angle 1 degree, so the angle starts at the point, and then the two arms of the angle, they branch out. If it's 1 degree, after 1 inch, the difference between the top line and the bottom line is practically not noticeable. When you go a foot, then you can see the difference between the top line and the bottom line. 10 feet, it's much more pronounced. Bilam HaRasha was a Navi. The Rabban Shalom spoke to him. Avraham spoke to Avraham also. Lakom Navi Yisrael Kamosha. There was never a bigger Navi in Klal Yisrael than Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal say, by the Goyim, they did have a Navi who was bigger than Moshe Rabbeinu. And that was Bilam. So he was on a high madrega with all his problems. It wasn't very noticeable, the difference between Avraham Avinu and Bilam HaRasha. Couldn't see it there. But in the Talmidim, which is further down the angle, as they gave out their what they held was right, so the further down it went, the bigger the difference was between the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu and the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha. So things start out very small and escalate into things which are very big. And this is basically what we have to watch out for. We have to watch out and be careful that we don't get caught in these very small things that don't seem to be any problem, but they could be the start of a problem. They could be the cause of a problem. And specifically, there is the influence of the environment in which we live. The Rambam says it's a normal thing for a person to be influenced by his environment. A person was created that way, that he's going to be influenced by his environment. Everyone knows, you have a small child or a feeble-minded person, that they're going to be influenced by this, by the environment. But we, mature, smart people, we'll do what we think is right. We don't care what everyone else thinks. We're Yidden, and we're going to do what the Baruch Hu wants us to do, and everyone else can stand on their heads and do what they want. It doesn't affect us. Well, I'm not so sure that that's right, that that's true. For instance, when a person wears gloves in the winter, do they have to be the same type, same color? Two shoes, do they have to be the same type, the same color? Of course. What kind of question is that? If you don't wear two shoes the same color, people will think that you have problems. But it's only that way because everyone else does that. But if no one else would do that, people wouldn't care if they wore two different colored shoes, then it would be considered normal. For instance, if a man wears a jacket, the one side is black and the other side is green, they would think that he's crazy. If a woman wears a dress, the one side is black and the other side is green, that's normal. Nothing wrong with that. So what's the difference? The difference is only in what everyone else is doing. So there's nothing actually crazy about a man wearing a jacket that has two different colors. It's just that no one else is doing it. And that we have a lot of things like that, like sending a girl to seminary in Eretz Yisrael. So even though there's a lot to gain from a girl going to seminary in general, but the price tag is very expensive. It's something like $30,000. And not everyone has that money. But if you don't send the girl to seminary, it'll affect her shidduch. And maybe she won't be able to get married. Even though there are seminaries in the United States, which are also good seminaries. But everyone else is doing this, so therefore you feel that you don't have the right to take away this privilege from your daughter because this is what everyone's doing. So I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm saying if there wouldn't be the style that everyone sends their child to a seminary in Eretz Yisrael, there are many people who would not send their child to Eretz Yisrael just because they don't have the money. So I'm just trying to point out, we are influenced by what everyone else is doing, whether we like to admit it or not. The Chazal say that when the Eden went over the Yam Suf, it was a nes. It was a miracle that happened. The Ribbono Shel Olam split the Reed Sea in order that the Eden should be able to go through. Klai Yisrael at that time said, Zeh Keilu Vaveyu. Zeh is only said when you can actually point to it. So Chazal said that Rosh Shifchal Hayom, Marshler Roch Cheskel Ben Buzi, even a Shifcha who went through the Yam Suf with Klai Yisrael had a bigger madrega, a bigger level of nevuah than even Yecheskel. And so they're holding a very big madrega. Amongst them were Dothan Vaaviram. Now Dothan Vaaviram were there also when the Rebbe Shlomo gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. And they heard from the Rebbe Shlomo himself the first two Dibros, just like all the rest of Klal Yisrael did. And yet, even though they couldn't have any question in their minds about that the Rebbe Shlomo was there and was there for them, they did two sins with the Iman. The Rebbe Shlomo said, I'm going to send you down this Mon. This Mon will taste like whatever you want to taste it, or what you want it to taste like. You want to taste it like hamburgers, it'll taste like hamburgers. You want it to taste like strawberry shortcake, it'll taste like that. It'll taste whatever like what you want. No matter how much they gathered, or how little they gathered of this man, they ended up with omer ha'gulgulos, a certain amount for each person that lived and ate the man. That was a nes. It was a miracle. They saw that by a tzaddik, the man came down by the front door of the tent. And it was a rosha, he had to go to the end of the camp in order to get his man. There were two mitzvahs that the Rebbe Shlomo said about this man. One of it was, don't leave over from today for tomorrow. You have to have emunah and bitachon, and the Rebbe Shlomo, they'll send you down every day, which the Rebbe Shlomo did for 40 years, except on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We sent the Lech HaMishnah before. And the other mitzvah that he says is that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, don't go out to collect. So Dothan Vaaviram, they left over because they weren't sure, probably, they weren't sure that they'll fall tomorrow. So it didn't help them. It disintegrated anyway. They went out on Shabbos to try and collect the man. There was nothing there. So what happened over here? These people saw the Hashgacha Min HaShemayim. They saw the Kriyas Yamsuf. They were there at the time of the Seis HaDibros. They saw the miracles of this man. And everything Bonjour said, whether it's going to happen, happened. And they went against the Oslan Hashem. There. So you see from here that no matter what your intellect tells you, what's good for you and what's not good for you, if you have a taiva, a rotzen, you want something, it can overcome whatever you actually believe is right. And not only that, but in the Parshas Korach, where the Baruch Hashem made a nes that swallowed up Korach and with Dothan Vaaviram, so the says in the pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu v'yedaber l'eda leimar, Moshe said to the Eda, Suru na al ole ha nashim hashama eda, v'le sigu b'chasha b'hem. Separate yourselves from the tents of these wicked people, Korach and his whole group, including Dothan Vaaviram. Do not touch anything that belongs to them. Pen tisafu b'chol chatoisam. Because if you would touch something that belongs to them, you will end up the way they do and get swallowed up in the ground. That's what it says in Ebenezer. But if you'll touch them, they'll get swallowed up also. there's a tremendous limit over here. If you will touch something that belongs to Korach, just touch it, they will be, they'll end up buried in the ground. The Ramban says, why? It says it's the same way by the wife of Lot. When she looked back, so she got the same punishment that the people in Sodom got. So they also, you touch them, you have a connection. Touching them creates a connection. Rav Dessler says that it is just like in Gashmias, you have someone has a contagious disease. He just goes in the same room as someone who's sick. He can catch it. In Ruchnius, it's also the same way, that if you have connection, even the whole connection is only to touch it, even if you only look at a Russia, it's contagious, and it can hurt a person. And that's why Chazal say that kol ha'ro'eh soita b'kilkula, someone sees a soita, a woman who was not faithful to her husband, and she drank this water and she exploded and died. Someone sees that, he himself should make sure that he doesn't have anything to do with wine. Well, what did you do wrong? You would think that he saw the woman got a punishment, he would know from that he should that you should not do something like that. You shouldn't even think about something like that. No, Chazal say, kol ha'ro'eh soita b'kilkula, even a tzaddik, anyone who is ro'eh soita b'kilkula, Rav Dessler says, yaz asma na yayin, because the mere fact that you see it, if breathing the same air that a sick person breathed in is contagious, seeing a rasha, even if he gets a punishment, is also contagious. It can sometimes it can cause a person to do an avera. And there's, in the Medrash, there's the moshel for this. There was someone was a shikha. I mean, he was just drunk, but he was still able to walk around. And they showed him that there were some other drunk people who were so drunk they really didn't know what they were doing, and they were wading around and knee-deep in mud. They didn't realize there was anything unusual about that. So when the shikha was shown this scene, that these shikurim were wading in the mud, he said, where did these shikurim get such a good whiskey from that they could get to this much? So in other words, this didn't deter him from drinking such a whiskey. He said, this must be a great whiskey. If you can get a person down to this madrega that he could be in the mud and enjoy himself. So this is what we have. So this is all things that we have to watch out for. So let me... zero in on something. It says in the pasuk that Kisavoyel as Canaan. It says in the pasuk that Lois Selchu Bechukas Hagoy Asher Onoichi Mishleach Mipneichem. When you get there as Canaan, don't go in the statutes of the Goyim, which I'm sending away from you. Now, the Mefarshim asks a question over here. What we, Yidden, have chukim. We have statutes, laws, which we don't understand the reason for. But what kind of laws do the Goyim have that they don't understand the reason for? They made up the laws. So they made up the laws, so they must have had a reason for it. Why would a guy make up a law that this doesn't make any sense? So what does that mean? V'loy selchu b'chukos ha'goy. You should not go in the statutes of the nation, asher anochi mishlech mipnechem, which I'm sending out of Eretz Yisrael for you. What kind of chukim do they have? So Rabbi Yeruchim, the Mashgiach and the Mir, says the laws that they make that don't make any sense, they have no reason, are the styles. Styles have no reason. If everyone has to wear green this year, so then there's a reason for it. Next year they'll wear blue, or they'll wear this kind of clothing, the other kind of clothing. There's no reason. Someone made it up. So those are the chukas hagoy. So what are the difference between our chukim and their chukim? The difference is between day and night. Our chukim, the Rabban Shah made our chukim. Our chukim have their marker in Kedusha. So even though we might not be able to understand what the reason is for these statutes that the Rabban Shah has made, but we can trust the Rabban Shah that if he said that we should do this, it's important to do this, it's important for our ruchnias, and we'll get scar for doing it. The chukas ha'goy don't come from a mock of Kedusha. They come from a mock of Tumah. Their reason for this is to attract attention, it comes from a mock of Znus, it comes from a mock of Pritzus. That's where their styles come from. Because basically, Pritzus means attracting attention. That's what he's standing out. That's Pritzus. So that's where their chukim come from. And even though, so I go after this style, so am I doing an Aveira? I'm not doing an Aveira. Okay, so this is what I'm talking about. That's what I've been talking about the whole night. That if it doesn't come from a mark of Kedusha, there's a problem with it. And if there's a problem with it, who knows, no different than playing music by the Chodaydi, through a guy. So maybe there is no halachadig a problem with it, but it's not a Torah thing. It doesn't have the sanction of the Gedol Yisrael. And if it doesn't have the sanction of the Gedol Yisrael, then there must be a problem with it. It's not Torah. And if it's not Thirdly, we have to stay away from it with as much as we can, because who knows if it's not thirdly what's going to happen with it, with this minig in 50 years from now, what's going to happen in 100 years from now, and what's going to happen after that. Everything that's not thirdly is a seed. It's a seed, pyre, shire, rosh velana. It is a seed of bitter herbs. It's a seed which nothing good is going to come out of it. So we should stay away from everything that does not have the sanction of the Chachmei Yisrael. And it's not always, sometimes a person can do Mecham L'Shem Shemayim. He's going to make a Kiddush Hashem. People shouldn't think that we Jews are nebs and we don't understand anything about life. And they're the ones that request Chacham. Well, if it is going to make a Kiddush Hashem, or it's going to not, it's against the Das of the Torah, that is something for the Chachmei Hadar. Every Dar has its chachamim, the Rabban Shalom supplied every door with its chachamim. They're the ones who have to make that decision whether this is the right thing or the wrong thing. It is possible that as long as there's no avera involved, under certain conditions, could be different than under other conditions, but it's not a decision for someone who is involved in it to be able to make such a decision by themselves. Because the person has nagiyas. And even the Nagiyas may be from Nagiyas, but sometimes the frumlich gears are being pushed by the Yetzirah. So we have to be very careful. And this is everything that we get involved with. Everything that we get involved with, whether they are parties which the goyim make for their workers. Do you get involved with them? Do you not get involved with them? We're not talking about kosher food. Either you won't eat or you'll order kosher food for you. Is this something which the Torah condones, or is this not something which the Torah condones? So we have to think about this. Think about it, and it's not within ourselves, and it's not always so easy to make a correct decision without advice from someone on the outside who's not a megevadot. So, as we come to the Yom Noraim, and we have to think, what should we do tshuva? The first thing to think is not how many times did I steal. Who stole? No one steals. Not how many times did I eat chaza. Who's eating chaza? That's not what we're going to look for. We're going to look for, what am I doing that may be going in the wrong direction? Maybe our children, maybe others can learn something wrong from us, from what we're doing, even though that we are completely from, and we've got no other kavanas over here, but we have to worry about what's going to come out of it. It has to do with the kind of food that we eat, it has to do with the kind of music that we listen to, the kind of dance we're involved with. Is it coming from a mock of Kedusha? Or is it coming from a marker of tumah? So the Rebbe Shalom shall help us that we should be zeicha to be able to cleanse ourselves from the chukas hagoyim, that things that we learned will be picked up from the goyim, things that we've picked up from Yidden that are not going in the derech haTorah. And Baba Naseinu Rabim, there are many of them. Things that maybe we should change, that we're doing, that we've been doing one way, maybe we should do it a different way. And the Banshar should help that we should be zeicher to have nachas from our children, that they should go in the right derech, and they should be able to give over the right derech to their children, like it says in the Pasuk, Ki Yedativ. Did the Baruch Shem love Avraham Avinu, Laman Asher Yitzaveh as Bonav as Beisa Achrav? Because he's going to teach his children V'shamu Derech Hashem Lasus Dokar Mishpat, that he's going to teach their children, their descendants, the right way. It's very important, especially since today there are so many distractions which we never had before, with the modern methods of communications and information, which we never had before. So we have to be specially on the alert to make sure that everything goes in the derech hayasha that Rebbe Shem wants us to go. We should be zeicha to aksiva chasima tova and nachas and simcha and simchas in the coming year.